And Tim Bubar, how are you doing today?
I am doing really well, Dave Gruen. How are you doing?
Do you think people can absolutely predict the very first words that I'm going to say every week?
I want to
change it up.
Ask you how you're doing before you get a chance to ask me.
Okay.
Just to throw you off. So
okay.
That'll be my sneak attack sometime.
Let's change it up. Let's restart. Ready? You go. Not really. We've already started, but let's pretend. Hey, no, at this weekend, last week was Easter, right? And we did a 6-week series called Easter Eggs, culminating on Easter, that was the death of death. And so let's just reflect about this series, like overall for you.
Okay.
As you maybe, one of the things we try to do when we come to the end of the series is not just leave it all behind. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, that was fun, and now let's move on to the next thing. And we're going to talk about moving on to the next thing. But just overall for you, how did you, anything you took away? Like, hey, here's a big picture thing I'm taking away from this series.
Well, I mentioned this last week, I think, on the podcast, that there's this like mosaic effect. I don't think I used that word, but like
a big word, mosaic.
Like a mosaic effect of these different ways that Old Testament scripture prophecy talks about Jesus and the different metaphors, the different pictures. You know, they're like little, and when they all come together, you get all these different facets of who Jesus is and what he accomplished on the cross.
Yeah.
So that has been, it's not like a takeaway, like an action point, but it certainly for me over the last 6 weeks or whatever it's been, that's been a big thing for me is to go, oh, look at all of these. It's helped me think about the difference between suffering servant and pierced one. And Passover lamb. Pay attention to the different things that those bring up. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense.
Yeah,
we did talk about it a little bit last week when I forgot that I actually had taught on the betrayed one. That was really awesome.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah. So that's been a big thing for me. Has there been a takeaway for you?
Yeah. I think it really drove home as we prepared for this series, and I got to teach a couple times during it, just really drove home that prophecy is different than we think it is.
Okay.
It's not just this bunch of random facts, like this is going to be, here's a random fact and it's going to be lived out later on, and here's a random fact and it's going to be lived out later on. Like it's far more nuanced and layered than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reminded over and over again as I've been studying more and more, maybe some things that I used to think are different than I used to think. And I've said it a bunch of time on this podcast, but so often I think I've just approached it as, oh, those silly Jewish people, how didn't they understand that Jesus was the Messiah? And just the hard truth of you wouldn't have. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
And so just being able to go, oh, the way that we were going to know that was to look back at it and see that it's true. And to have these incredible writers of God's story that are knitting it all together in a profound and powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps reminding me that it's better than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation with someone this week, and it's something we talked about, you know, more than a year ago when it comes to the humanness of scripture has me on this trail of saying, oh, the Bible's better than I thought it was. You know, it's an amazing thing if the book had just fallen out of the sky and we'd have it. But the fact that God used people, not just did he manipulate people to do what he wanted to do, but he used really smart, creative people to tell the story that he wanted to tell and reveal who he is to humanity for all time. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And as people who've given our lives to teaching it in many ways, I think it's cool that right now my love for the Bible is growing, not diminishing. And that's pretty exciting,
that's
actually.
That's a good thing,
yeah. So this weekend, Isaiah 25 and 1 Corinthians 15. And I think it's a passage in 1 Corinthians 15 that, you know, if you've been around following Jesus for a while, you're likely familiar with this death has lost its sting passage.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes familiarity with the story, like we just start taking stuff for granted. And so I think to actually go back and remember the centrality of the resurrection in Paul's theology this weekend and how important it is that we would know death is defeated, it is going to make a difference how I can live this week. Mm-hmm. It really does. If I'm really bought in, not just, yeah, I'm going to die someday so I can be with Jesus. But that's true. And we don't want to minimize that ever. Right. But this idea of I'm not dead today.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like it's both the physical and the spiritual reality of the death of death. So in that, as we talk about, you know, it's just such a beautiful picture as Jesus took death upon himself and defeated death by dying. I mean, it's just awesome storytelling. And yeah, I get it. It's God's story. It's going to be awesome. But it's just awesome storytelling, right?
Yeah, it is. And like, even for, at least for me, just that phrase, you know, of death is dead, putting death to death. Not even from a Christian standpoint, just from a human standpoint, that is so, I don't know, it's a powerful thing to hear. It's like stirs something in me. Again, not from a, oh, that reminds me of Jesus and what he can do. Just death is such a, it feels like such a, it's just part of the human experience that it's a conquering, inevitable, unstoppable force. It's death. So when you go, death is defeated, death put to death, death conquered, death is dead. That is, it's, I don't know, it's like mind blowing just to hear the idea, even before you think about it from a Christian standpoint. What did Jesus do? How did this happen? Just the idea of death being killed is anti- It's just, I get what I'm saying. It's like, yeah. It's opposed to the way our whole world, including me, I mean, it's just the opposite of the way you think about existence. So yes. It's powerful.
Yeah. You know, people, you say the phrase all the time, you know, well, how are you doing? Well, you know, I'm barely making it, but it beats the alternative.
Right.
And I say it a lot, but no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It really doesn't beat the alternative. And not just in a, you know, pious, oh, it's so much better to be with Jesus, but in a real world sense, the physical part of death is only half of the story, but it's the whole story often in how we think.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a hard time seeing past the what Mark talked about this weekend. Eternal life is a has begun already, right? Eternal life has begun. I'm never going to be separated from God. That is assured through Jesus, through his life, death, resurrection, and promised return. I'm never going to be separated from the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to be separated from Christ. It means I'm spiritually alive today, spiritually alive forever. And yet we have such a hard time getting past the physical nature of death.
Mm-hmm.
And because that seems like that's the end of the story.
Right.
And so it's really encouraging to remind yourself it's not.
Right.
It's not the end of the story.
Right.
It's a doorway. It's, you know, whatever metaphor you would choose to use, it's not the end.
Right.
And Easter is all about resurrection is the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a cool thing to remember on Easter that death is dead.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reminder.
Yeah, and even when I experience the sting of death when someone I care about dies, I'm experiencing the sting of death, but they're not.
Right.
That's what, you know, that's what 1 Corinthians 15 makes so clear, is that they're not experiencing the sting of death. So knowing that should transform how I live, how I handle grief and suffering and even the difficulties of life now, knowing that death is not ultimately victorious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as we think about, you know, scripture tells us that we don't grieve like those who don't have hope.
Right.
We have hope, so we don't grieve like we don't have hope. We do have hope, but we grieve with hope.
Yes, exactly.
And people, I think, often over spiritualize it, and maybe in some way, like that isn't mean it's not a deeply sad thing to have someone who you love be physically dead.
Yeah. They're not with me anymore.
Yes, that is something to be incredibly sad over, but it's a grief that's different than I have someone who's experiencing not just physical death, but also spiritual death.
Yeah.
And when we really understand that death is separation from God, right? And so spiritual death, I'm never going to be separated from God, but physical death is separation from physical people.
Yeah.
Like when I was able to finally get my mind around that, there's physical death and there's spiritual death. And what Paul is talking about is those who are alive in Christ are never going to experience spiritual death. Mm-hmm. And that's because why? They're never going to be separated from God. They're always going to be living in God's presence. Today, tomorrow, forever. And that makes us say, okay, how do I live today? It does set us up for that. How do I live as somebody who lives today? Like death, physical death is going to happen, but death isn't going to win. The physical death is going to be a portal for all of us.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that death has won. Death died. And that's it can be an incredible motivator for me to how I live today differently in light of that truth.
Yeah. That's what I love. I mean, I'm just glad Wednesday this week that we'll get to read all of 1 Corinthians 15, because it takes you from Jesus, his resurrection, his conquering over death, and then, okay, what does that mean for us? Paul gets really practical about, like, what are we talking about here? Resurrection? Resurrection body?
Yeah.
And I think I just think, like, when I read that, it helps me think about, okay, how do I live now? Because that's the reality of what's happened when we look at the resurrection of Jesus and what's going to happen when I look at my resurrection, our resurrection. Now I'm in between those. I just think that chapter is great for wrestling with that, meditating on that. So we'll get to do that Wednesday.
It really is a great chapter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever are in doubt about Paul's view of the importance of Easter, he just lays it all out there when it comes to, without the resurrection, this is all a big waste of time. Without that, right? We're just all wasting our time. This is all for nothing. But, and he goes, you know, but Christ is raised. And because he's raised, there's actual real life implications. Yeah. We can encourage one another. Don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Keep going. Keep fighting the fight. Hang in there. Why? Because death is defeated. Why? How do we know that? Jesus is alive. And I think part of that is one of the beautiful things about Easter every year. I was just having a conversation with a friend the other day, and for so much of my life, the real tangibleness of Jesus being alive in a physical body today, mm-hmm. just escaped me. And it really was when I came to grips with the fact that he's a real person in a real physical body, still a real person in a real physical body that I am following. For some reason, in the way my mind works, everything started to make a lot more sense than it just being, well, there's this disembodied spirit out there that I'm supposed to be following, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, no, he was raised, he's alive in the perfected body. And then for a lot of my life, I had resurrection order out of sequence, because people would say phrases like, when somebody that I knew died, they would say, well, they're in their eternal resting place. Mm. Or, well, you know, they have a new body now, and they're you know, they're no longer experiencing those things. Sure. And it just was the way it was talked about gave me a real misperception of a biblical view of what happens between when we die today physically and that future resurrection,
right,
when all of those who are in Christ are raised to new life to live with a resurrected Jesus on a resurrected earth.
Yeah. And it's in there, you know, and that's, it's right there in 1 Corinthians 15. It's also in Thessalonians, 1st or 2nd, I can't remember, 1 Thessalonians. It's in Revelation, you know, like you get these pieces of that. Even in Philippians, Paul says, you know, he's going to make our body like his body. And that's that, you know, like for me, yeah, that was an aha of, oh yeah, he has a body right now. My resurrection body is going to be like the body that he already has because he has a body. He's not just floating somewhere. Jesus, you know, still has a body. That was a big thing for me. And when he says, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, it's a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know, like, I'm just like, okay, this week when you get, make sure you leave enough time on Wednesday when you come to Live It Out to ponder, daydream a little bit about some of that stuff. Like, whoa, what does that mean? What's that going to be like? I think that's good to do.
I think you're dead on. It's really, I think, significant that we would do that. And so this week, we're also going to have a chance to talk about this idea that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us. And that's another one of those verses, I think, that, yeah, that sounds so good. But to slow down long enough on Thursday to really consider, what's the real implication of that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it does make a difference to how I'm going to live on Thursday if I'm bought into the fact that the spirit that raised Christ from the dead,
yeah,
is now alive and at work in me.
Right. And that whole chapter, we'll read Romans 8 that day, is about life in the spirit, like, yeah, life in the spirit versus life in the flesh. And you got to know what kind of spirit we're talking about. Not just that it's the spirit of Jesus, but it's also the same spirit who raised him from the dead. And you're right. That's the kind of, I'm living life by that spirit. That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be something that we just say. And so this is one of the things I feel like God is working on in me right now. It's one thing just to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. But am I yielded to it? And how is he using spiritual practices to form me and to shape me? And am I open to it? Am I open to the work of being shaped that God wants to do? And some days my answer is no. I'm not really open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that he's showing me right now is there's indicators in my life that say I'm not open to what it is that he wants to do in me, right? It's when I get defensive or I get my feelings easily hurt or there's these things going on around me, and I'm starting to link it together and say, oh, those are indicators that I'm not really open to having Christ shaped in me.
Yeah.
I'm not really open to the power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead to be alive in me today. Mm-hmm. I know he is. He doesn't come and go. Let's be clear. Okay?
Right.
Let's be accurate. But, he doesn't come and go. But the only way I really know how to communicate what I'm thinking is at like the volume on your radio, or, you know, there's days where I feel like I want to turn off the volume on what God wants to do in me. I want to turn down the volume so I'm not paying attention to what it is the Holy Spirit wants to do in me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm finally coming to the place of saying, I don't know that I want that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, how do I, like, I want, this is what I say, I want to not want that.
Right.
And for me, that's been a good starting point. Mm. What's he been up to in you, Tim?
It's funny. I was just was thinking about, it's kind of related to that. You know, last week in Live It Out, we had fasting on Friday for, on Good Friday. So we said fast today. And so as I was looking towards that, I was like, I just was kind of tired and maybe hungry generally that, you know, in those days leading up to it. And I can remember thinking like, I don't want to do that. I'm just not going to do that. It's not legalistic. I don't have to do that. And as we got closer to that day, it was like, well, wait a second. I don't know. Something just, I know I did, maybe it's just the spirit in me, God's spirit in me, just reminded me like the last couple times that we've fasted together, prompted by Live It Out have been really good for me, personally, you know, in connecting with God, in staying, you know, kind of keeping my mind on Him. They've been really fruitful. And both times I thought, I need to do this a lot more. And it was sort of that like, oh, there's this natural resistance in me to this thing that I know is good and I want to do. And, but for a couple of days, it just was like, I'm just going to let my body win. Yeah. It doesn't want to do this. It doesn't want to do this uncomfortable thing that I know in my head is going to be, I'm just absolutely confident it's going to be good for my relationship with God. And it's a little thing to go without food for a day, but it was like my energy level, my hunger level, whatever. And I just was like, I wasn't saying this out loud, but it was kind of like, I'm not going to fight any of that. I'll just do what's easy.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
PB&J.
Yeah. I do love a PB&J on toast.
He does. But
you were just, yeah. His scarfing went down quick.
Okay, so full confessions, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. We're growing. We're all growing. Before we recorded this podcast, you were afraid your stomach was going to go. So what do you jam down? Like my stomach's going to make noise.
My stomach's going to growl so loud during the podcast recording that the microphone will pick it up.
And so you have to do what?
Eat a PB&J and some Cheetos.
There you go.
You know?
He's like cramming him down his gullet. Before it's like, let's go.
I'll eat them.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's good. That was a good transition. That's almost like we planned it, but we didn't. So this is cool. So spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines. And this week we're going to be talking about them. And there's two that we're going to highlight. At the beginning of the week, we're going to talk about listening as a spiritual discipline. And it's something every week in Live It Out. We have a question.
Yeah.
But we haven't explicitly said, hey, this is a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
But it is.
It is. Yeah. And we try and make engaging in spiritual disciplines, experimenting with spiritual disciplines, part of Live It Out, so we can grow in that as a whole church. I think it's good for us as like, okay, we're a whole church of disciples. How do we grow in that? So I think that's a good thing for us to do. But I this week I was kind of like, oh, well, what discipline should we practice next? Well, there are some that we do regularly. And we shouldn't forget and just go, well, we just need to add something else on.
Yeah.
And listening is definitely one of those that we've been really intentional about putting in there, not just every week, every day. And let's look at it through that lens. And I think it's helpful to go, okay, listening isn't just an activity. It is a discipline. And maybe we've talked about this before, but when we think of it not just as an activity, but as a discipline, at least for me, it helps me frame it as not something I just do while I'm doing Live It Out.
Right.
It's meant to help me engage in that the rest of the time. Just like, you know, if I'm practicing solitude so that I can be quiet before God, I set aside time for that so that I can do it in the middle of a busy day. I get away from people to practice it so then I can do it in the middle of a busy day. And same with listening. Like, I'm going to set aside time to ask Jesus a question and listen with my heart and my spirit to see how he's going to respond so that the rest of my day I can be in a conversation with him and paying attention to what he might be saying in my spirit, my heart.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And I think it's important that we would be reminded of that, because for me, it can just fall into, I asked Jesus the question to start the day and move on.
Yeah.
And even people would look at us and be like, surely you guys don't do that. Yes.
Yeah.
We do it just like everybody who's listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. We forget that life is happening, and the very first thing we should be doing is entering into that conversation with God Himself through the power of the Spirit in us about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's often the last thing that I would say I do. I do because I can fix it. I can think about it. I can come up with a strategy. I can do all the things. And then I can go, oh, I could even pray about it.
Yeah.
And it should be something that's right at the front, not trailing. And so to remember, asking Jesus questions is a spiritual discipline for all of life. And it's just the way, it's the life we're to live. Uh-huh. It's the conversational relationship that isn't just, I started my day by asking Jesus a question, but I primed the pump so that when I'm going through school today, when I'm at work, in a meeting today, that I can go, oh, Jesus doesn't have to be excluded from my workplace, from my family, from my school, from my sports team, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And I think I've mentioned before that sometimes moving is helpful for me, like for my mind, to keep it from wandering. So like when I pray, it's easier for me to pray when I'm walking or running than when I'm just sitting in a room. And listening works that way for me too. Sometimes it's
me too, dude.
It's hard for me. Sometimes sitting in a service, at the end of the service, and we ask a question, sometimes my brain is so hyperactive. It's really, I know I've grown in it. I know I have. I'm better at that, at being able to be quiet and listen just sitting there, but I still think it's relatively hard for me. But practicing it there helps me. Honestly, even if like we're sitting in a service and we ask a question at the end of the service and my mind is just wandering, racing, whatever. If nothing else, the hard time I have then will make me go, okay, I gotta ask this question again.
Yeah.
I gotta do it again in another environment, at another time. I gotta come back to this. I think that's still a good thing. You know, I don't think it's just a failure of, oh, I didn't listen well. I didn't hear anything. It's like practicing anything. It's like practicing a sport. I think the metaphor works because the metaphor works. I missed the shot. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that means I'm going to take the shot again and I'm going to keep practicing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't really thought about that. I've thought about it in some other ways. Like I know when I'm working on something, maybe, you know, developing series or working on a teaching or whatever it may be, that the walking is incredibly helpful for me.
Yeah.
You know, just moving in order to think things through.
Right.
But it's true for me too. And it didn't really hit home until you said it. The times where I feel probably like I'm having the biggest clarity moments, there's a couple times, and one of them may be sitting. There's, you know, maybe in some group prayer settings where I feel like God will data dump some stuff to me, but it's when I'm moving. Mm-hmm. If I'm walking, and so like if I've fallen out of the rhythm of walking in the morning, well, maybe that demonstrates like maybe that's why I don't feel is I'm hearing as well from Jesus right now.
Yeah.
This has been like spiritual therapy, Tim.
Let's do it.
I appreciate it. That was actually really helpful.
That's good.
And so then we're heading into this weekend. Heading into a Serve Saturday, and we've been talking about how these service events are not just a nice thing to do, but we can use them as a church, as a spiritual discipline that I can use both personally, but also as a church family. It's a spiritual discipline. How do I put into practice this resurrected life that I've been given? Well, I can do it by serving either people by, you know, there's all different kinds of opportunities. It's serving people maybe in a real tangible way, in a face-to-face kind of way, or maybe it's a behind the scenes and there's all kinds of projects that are maybe happening behind, I know particularly on the Harrison Lane campus, there's projects that'll be happening that are behind the scenes in the sense of you're making something or you're working on a project, putting together a bunch of diapers or you're making a blanket or something and you're putting a tangible effort into service, but you're never maybe going to have the face-to-face experience with the person that you're serving.
Yeah.
And I think these are both good training.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we would enter in and we would train ourselves. Why am I doing this?
Right.
Well, it's so that people would know that Jesus loves them, even though they don't see me telling them that.
Yeah. And I think a cool thing about Serve Saturday or serving alongside others in any environment is you can like ponder those things internally and you can watch someone else serve. And I just think there's some like, I don't know. You can't really watch yourself serve.
Yeah, right?
You can't. But there is something to seeing it. You know, like how a visible, it's maybe an over, it's the analogy's not quite right. It's maybe an overstatement. But baptism is a visible, tangible thing for us to see that reminds us. I'm not saying that watching someone else serve is like watching someone get baptized. But you know how when you watch somebody else get baptized, you remember your own baptism, you remember your own dying to self and God raising you to life. Like it helps you it helps me when I see that. And I think watching somebody else can actually do that. Like, look at them. They're not serving themselves. I might be doing the same thing alongside them, but I think it's different watching somebody else do it. So I think that's a cool thing on Serve Saturday.
It really is cool. And yeah, it's really good because, yes, my family on any given weekend, we could look for an opportunity that we could serve somewhere in the community together. Mm-hmm. But it is like you just said, when it's cool to be there and you're with other people from Two Rivers and you're like, wow, these are people that are getting outside themselves in order to serve somebody.
Yeah.
It really is. It's cool to watch, not just to serve yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it is a spiritual discipline. I think so often we think of it as the, oh, by the way, other. Like when it comes to disciple making and putting spiritual practices in place so that we would be formed in the image of Christ so that we can follow Jesus, right? So often I think we think of it in such a segmented way that the serving thing seems like the tag on. It's the ought should thing.
Right. It's a good thing we should do.
Right.
Yeah.
Rather than seeing it as it's absolutely a thing we should do.
Yes, it's a good thing we should do, no question.
Yeah. But it's way beyond that.
Yeah.
Rather than going, no, this is one of the arsenal of tools that God uses to shape us, to be like who? Well, to be like Jesus, but who's Jesus? He's the savior of the world. Yeah, but who is he? He's the suffering servant.
Yeah.
And that's a model of servanthood that isn't exalted in the world.
Uh-huh.
Well, that could be, it can allow me to enter in and to serve in a different way.
Yeah.
Without feeling like I need, a couple weeks ago we talked about, be recognized for it. And I would suggest even that enters into the workplace. That is something that as I'm working with the people, you know, allow it to carry over. Allow the spiritual discipline of service to be practiced, I would say, just if you take that mindset into your workplace and say, okay, I'm going to exercise the spiritual discipline of service. I would challenge you, see how your day turns out. See if it's different.
Yeah.
When you're getting ready to do your employee reviews, go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to exercise the spiritual discipline of service. Mm-hmm. Well, how am I going to serve this person who works for me? That I'm going to encourage, rebuke, correct, celebrate, all these things that seem like they're polar opposites, but I'm going to do it with this person's best interests in mind.
Yeah.
In order that I would allow them to be the best employee that they can be.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, how am I going to serve them today?
Yeah, that's well, good.
It may be that I'm going to serve them by offering the truth that I don't want to say out loud,
mm-hmm.
because it's really hard to tell people the truth about their performance. But it may be, hey, I really haven't celebrated how awesome this person has done. And I need to allow that to come fully through in how I'm delivering their review today. That's just one.
Yeah, but it's crazy super practical. Example. Super practical.
All right. With that, we're heading into a new series.
Yeah.
What's coming up. And so this Friday, we're encouraging people to watch a Bible Project video. It counts, people. All right. You can read the whole Sermon on the Mount if you want, or you can watch this video, Matthew chapters 5 through 17, Sermon on the Mount. Watch the video, getting ready to kick off a new series. And I would suggest another spiritual discipline. You're not going to find this one. I don't think we'll find this one anywhere. But the spiritual discipline of preparing to enter into worship on a weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say spiritual discipline of watching videos or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, preparing.
Well, maybe it is.
Preparing to worship. Yeah, preparing. Yeah, I think that is something there.
Maybe we'll flesh that out. The spiritual discipline. Maybe we'll invite Aaron back and talk about the spiritual discipline of preparing to worship with other followers of Jesus on the weekend. So with that, Tim, we're getting ready to wrap this bad boy up. End of Easter eggs. Week 6.
Yeah.
Easter's over. Final word, Tim Bubar.
What can you say? But that's it. Death is dead. Jesus is alive. Let's live like it, right?
Truth. See ya.
See ya.